Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Couple of things I want to get to. We will get to Jeanine Pirro in a bit, that story. But we've had a couple of callers talking about the issue of depression. And I want to go to another subject that I really do think is very much related to what's going on, especially with younger people. I really think there are a lot of lost young people because I think there's been a real vacuum in parenting. You're going to hear a piece of audio that I think many of you will find to be very relevant. We'll just put it that way. Go back to our call from Jay out of Kannapolis. Hello again, Jay.
Thank you for keeping me on.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you one thing that I read about depression? About 25 years ago at the New England Journal of Medicine, it said many cases of depression was cured with nothing but just fish oil. And I find that people who suffer depression, for the most part, are not taking fish oil. That's a big help. I'm also a suicide survivor.
Well, tell me about that.
According to the doctors, I did a good job. They told my family that I would not survive the night, even with life support, if I did survive to come back the next day and pull everything and bury me. I was dead. Excuse me. I woke up that night, and nobody had an answer. So, this is a very important thing to me. I see people that have it, and it breaks my heart every time I hear somebody commit suicide. When doctors tell me, this is one of the easiest things there is to cure, but there's just too much money in it. And that breaks my heart.
I understand. What has been what has made the difference for you for these many years now?
My connection to the Lord. When I survived this thing, I had a talk with the Lord. And I asked him to do two things to prove that it was him that had saved me. And the first thing I asked was to give me a gift with my hands to relieve pain and suffering in others. And I have about an 85-90% cure rate with depression in one treatment. The doctors say they cannot refer me, even if they have a patient who may commit suicide, because it's all about the money.
Wow.
It's so amazing. Your friend is having the problem. I'd like to give you my phone number, either on or off the air.
Sure. I'd like to get your information off air. I do appreciate you sharing your heart again. And I've got to tell you, you know, we talk about a lot of things on this program. I want you to know my greatest passion is for people to be at a place of health and wholeness. That's my greatest passion. It doesn't mean the political stuff and the other thing is unimportant, but I'm convinced a big reason why we are so politically screwed up is we've got a lot of unhealthy people. So many of us are broken. And this is the source of conflicts. This is the source of looking to the government to fix everything. People are looking for solutions. One texter saying here, with all due respect, the folks calling in depression is trying to live life without God in some way or believing a lie about God. It manifests itself physically in many different ways. But when one straightens out his relationship with God, everything falls into place. I would agree with what you've said here, but I would also add, I think there are nuances and complications that also need to be considered, even in what you have expressed. And I say that because I've got very close friends, Christians, walking with God, very close with God. And there are people throughout history that we're aware of who've had a tremendous impact. I cannot remember which famous founder of a denomination, I think, had a lifelong problem with depression. One of the things I think I would strongly encourage is that we're very careful about coming across with simple answers. You know, if you just, and I'm believe me, I'm not saying you're saying this, but there are some people that do say things this simple. Well, if you just believe the Lord, brother, you will be fine. It's really not that simple. And I think this is what complicates it even more for people who are genuinely going through some deep, deep depression and struggle, is for their problem to be trivialized and to be characterized as something that has a very simple solution. Vince, it's so hard to help people threatening to commit suicide. My brother would be threatening to commit suicide. We talk to him, calm him down, call police. They'd say, well, if he's not threatening now, there's nothing we can do. Another texter, I took Prozac briefly for depression, woke up every morning with a different suicide plan in my head. My goodness, needless to say, I stopped taking it after 3 or 4 days. I just wanted to warn people to beware of certain drugs. Always read the insert. Thank you, texter, who answered my question. Charles Spurgeon struggled with depression. So, again, I just remind you, just be conscious and careful. You know, I'll just tell you one of my pet peeves, because this ties into that. Are when I see people on social media post something, you know, maybe, and I'm very conscious of that. Some of you within the sound of my voice are conscious of this, because some of you I've reached out to when I've seen troubling posts on social media. Sometimes I'll just send a note privately that says, hey, what's up? One of the worst things I see is when someone posts, and I think it's sad, first off, that people are posting things like this. There's one guy in particular, always posting depressing things on his page. But it's sad when people, you know, it's kind of like the line about take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. One of my pet peeves is when people do that with Bible verses. Oh, just meditate on this scripture, brother. And again, I'm not trivializing the scripture and the gospel, but I've got to tell you something. There is no substitute for walking with someone in the journey rather than just throwing Bible verses. And if you're not involved in someone's life intimately, sometimes the worst thing you can do is throw something like that from afar, because it feels very sterile and very lifeless. Coming up, what's going on with our young people and discipline, or the lack thereof? We're going to share with you a piece of audio I came across on the internet. I absolutely love it, and I think many of you will identify with it. That's coming up straight ahead. So we've been talking about mental health issues, and one of the things I know that has had a tremendous impact, I mean, two people very close to me, they've been deeply impacted by some sort of issues of sexual abuse as children. We have a disturbing story that's developing right now. Catholic diocese and former bishop in West Virginia knowingly employed pedophiles, according to a suit filed by the state attorney general. This is a precedent-setting lawsuit. It says the diocese failed to conduct adequate background checks for those working at its schools and its camps. I think this is probably one of the most devastating things that I've encountered in the ministry and counseling that I've done over the years, the effects are far-reaching. They are, and I think one of the unfortunate things is when there's a lack of justice, when people are not held accountable, from a legal standpoint, for one, but also this injustice that's been done and the people who are bystanders or whatever the circumstance, it's devastating. Devastating. One of the things I mentioned about what's going on in our culture and our society, the connection between a lot of the disconnectedness and depression and other issues and lack of discipline in the home. I came across this piece of video from Greg Locke. He is a pastor, and he posted this about unruly children. You will absolutely find this interesting. Listen up. Do we have this ready? Here is Greg Locke.
I've got to be honest. The way that some kids talk to their parents these days, I'm not sure if it's the kid that needs a butt whooping or the mom and dad that need a butt whooping. I have never heard such disrespect in my life. I've been a parent for a long time and a pastor for a long time. I just picked up my 13-year-old son, and I want you to know that there was this girl. She couldn't have been more than 11 or 12 years old. Stick her long, bony finger through the driver's side of her mother's vehicle, right up to her mother's face, and she said, and I quote, "Well, it's your fault that we're running late. I told you not to park here. If you'd have parked where I told you, then we wouldn't be running late. But I'm still going to the Dollar General store with my friend," and turned and walked away. Had I done that to one of my parents, or especially one of my grandparents, I'll have you know that after I picked my sorry carcass up off the ground, wiped the blood out of my nose, and fixed my teeth, then I would have got a proper whooping. You say, Pastor Locke, somebody would have called DCS on your granddaddy, and he would have whooped them with a paddle and a switch when they showed up as well. Listen, at my house, we call it the golden rule. He that maketh the gold, make it the rules. You burn my gas, sleep in one of my beds, eat food off my table, put your feet under my table, and take a shower in one of the water units that I pay for, I'll have you know, you're going to do what I say. These kids shake their heads, snap their fingers, bow their back like little banny roosters as the rebels they are and say, "Well, when I'm 18 years old, I'm out." Number one, go ahead and try that, bucko. If you think I'm going to raise some millennialized kid that's going to lay around in my basement till the sun warms their feet till they're 35 years old, you're crazy. Let my kids threaten me with, "When I'm 18, I'm gone." And they can be gone the night before they turn 18. The first time they have to pay an insurance bill, the first time they have to pay a mortgage, they'll come back to mom and daddy's house real, real quick. But let me secondarily say this. Whoever come up with a stupid rule that when you turn 18 years of age, you somehow are an adult and you can live the way you want to. I'll be honest with you. I didn't even understand what life was about till I was 30 years old. 18 years old and you're an adult. 18 years old, you ought to still be wearing diapers. Have you lost your ever-loving mind? And the way these kids are talking to these parents these days, it ought to be spoken from the pulpit. It ought to be spoken politically. And parents ought to stand up to their kids. You had the kid. You support and pay for the kid. And you let that trash mouth run you down in your house. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Let them sleep out back in the doghouse with the bulldogs for a couple of days and see what they think about that. Are you kidding me? Have one of my kids talk to me like that. If I caught one of my kids talking to my wife like that, I would wear their butts out in the front yard and make a viral Facebook video over it. Talk to me like that. Talk to an adult like that. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It's the first commandment with promise. Let me tell you something. It's not just a parent that ought to whoop your tail. You disrespect an adult, especially a mom or a dad or an elderly person in your life, you better know this. God will jerk a knot in your tail.
Didn't you appreciate that as much as I did?
Wow.
I was like, whoa. I get it. I really get it. And honestly, it speaks to me. I'm just being blunt about this. Because how many times do we back away as parents? Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to pick a fight. We got to pick your battles. Well, you better start picking a battle somewhere. Your kid will run all over you. Spoken from a parent with three teenagers right now. So, I just thought you would appreciate that. It's a reminder to all of us of our responsibility. And I think this is one of the reasons why so many children are having difficulty and young adults are having difficulty. There's been a lack of discipline. And it catches up with these young people. This lack of discipline at some point, if it's not addressed, these kids are, they're just kind of left to themselves. There's, in fact, I think of the scripture, a child left to himself brings shame to its mother. Now, let me make something very clear. I'm not just talking about abandoning a child who's going to be out in the street. There's a way to do that with the kids being right in your home. I think you know what I'm talking about. Texter would like to know the name of this person again. His name is Greg Locke. Locke has an E on the end. In fact, just for the heck of it, I'm going to post this on the Facebook page, 1063 WRD and for WBT. So I want you to share this. I think it will definitely generate a lot of attention. Let's go out to Ben in Charlotte. Good morning, Ben.
Yes, sir. I was calling because my boy, he, for the last 2 years, have been dealing with depression because of one of the biggest reasons is he had gone to Boy Scout camp, and he was sexually harassed at Boy Scout camp.
Oh, no.
And he had brought this to the people in charge with the Boy Scout camps, which some of them were supposedly Boy Scouts led by other Scouts. And he was just told to ignore. So he had to deal a whole week with harassment. And he's been going to counseling for two years.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Boy Scouts had asked us to give a written statement so they could turn it into the police. And we did. I didn't find out till a year later that they actually had changed the statement, excluding sexual harassment and stuff like that. They were just saying it was an issue.
Oh,
I didn't know
no.
until a year after.
My goodness. I'm so sorry to hear that, Ben. I'm glad that you're dealing with this very aggressively. And it goes back to what I was saying before. So many of these situations, there's an injustice that's just unresolved. And I think that's one of the things that is one of the most difficult for people who are in this kind of circumstance. Coming up, we will get to the story about Jeanine Pirro, but we'll get to more of your calls because some of you are wanting to talk about this pastor and these remarks. We'll do that after this break. Oh, my goodness. On the Vince Coakley radio program, I have posted the video from the pastor on the Facebook page for 106.3 WRD, also for WBT. And someone I noticed said, hey, I cannot get Facebook. So can you put it on Twitter? So my Facebook page connects to Twitter. So hopefully you will see it there. If you do not, just send an email, vince@wbt.com, and we'll try to get that to you. We'll figure it out. Let's see here. This texter said, amen, I know Greg personally, as in Greg Locke. He has a testimony on the Pacific Garden Ministry website. Ah, that'll be worth checking out. They're the producers of that show called Unshackled that I used to listen to all the time. I loved that program. Texter said, I was sexually molested at Girl Scout camp by the only man there. Never reported it because I was so young. The experience of the boy at Boy Scout camp brought it all back to me just now. My goodness. I hope you address this and find help and the kind of counseling and things that are necessary to help you walk through that. Also on the text line, this person saying here, Vince, a statement about young children getting away with murder has really hit home. finally stood up to my 15-year-old daughter, who refused to do anything. I grabbed her by the shirt, walked her to the mess she made, asked her to clean it up nicely. She called social services. They've been investigating me for 3 months. You're right, I'm scared to death of my own kid. Parents have no rights anymore. I could go on a rant about this forever. Social services has way too much power. Let me make something very clear. This is not condoning abuse anywhere under any circumstance. But all it takes is an accusation. We need to revisit this subject at some point. But all it takes is one accusation. It could be an unfounded accusation. And you will have these folks investigating the hell out of you. I've got friends who've gone through this. Can't get rid of them. My, how times have changed. Let's go out to Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning. You know, I have to tell you, in a time period of heaviness throughout our country and our world with things and problems happening, Pastor Locke's commentary was actually extremely uplifting.
Yes, because, it was.
You know, I sit there and I think, it takes me back to my dad. My dad was a quiet, was John Wayne the quiet man. And I mean, when he went quiet, the ground trembled beneath his feet because you knew that he was getting ready to go cut a switch. And I can tell you, I was paddled probably every year from first grade, surprisingly, all the way to 4 days before graduation in my high school, in front of the high school. So, it didn't leave me scarred it did leave me scarred a little bit, but it did not leave me scarred mentally. It left me scarred in other areas, but, no, I'm kidding. It wasn't that bad, but, you know what? I never went out and decided, well, you know what, I'm going to go rob a convenience store or an inconvenience store because I got my tail whooped. Guess what? I've given a paddling to every single one of my kids, and every single one of them looks at me with a different eye like, you know what? Thank you. And you know what? When they were messing around about a year and a half ago in the car, and I mean, it just got loud and was bubbling over, I said, hop up. Get out of the car. But, Dad, I said, give me your phones. Get out of the car. It's an 11-mile hike. Get walking. And you know what? It didn't punish them. It didn't kill them. They bonded, and afterward, they said, you know what? We talked and cut up the whole way home and realized how stupid we were. And it's kind of just you know what? It's kind of common sense. And Pastor Locke is talking about common sense because parents are fearful of their children, and that is not how it's supposed to be.
Yep.
Parents should not be fearful, and children should not be fearful. They should be working hand in hand, but the parent should be the ultimate, biblically, as far as laying down the rules.
Yep.
That's it. That's how I look at it.
You're absolutely right. Appreciate your call, Tim, and agree with your perspective there. That's so important that there is order. And I think, honestly, even though these kids are rebelling, I think they're crying out for order and for discipline. Even in the midst of them being nitwits, they desperately want order and direction and barriers they just need it. They need it desperately. May we as fathers especially not cower the face of that challenge. Butch in Mooresville, good morning.
Good morning, Vince. It's me. What I wanted to say was what I told your caller is I have two young grandchildren, and we've taken care of them a couple of times on the weekends. They're age 7 and 9 now, and they hit each other, kick each other. One will be sitting in a chair, walk over and smack the other one. What I do now, the last 2 or 3 years, I make them sit on the rug in front of the fireplace, hold hands, and tell each other that they love one another. And that drives them crazy. Now I got their dad doing it, and he says their behavior's starting to slowly change.
I See love later, it. Gents. Butch, thank you. I love that. That is awesome. Let's go out to Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Vince. How are you doing, sir?
All right, sir.
Just a real quick suggestion. So I've been working with youth for quite a while, brought a troubled teenager into our lives. We're trying to help them get over some of their past, and they threatened to call someone on us one time while we were going through a disciplinary situation. So I took this young person with me, actually to a foster care home, and introduced them, and so they could see what their life would be like if they actually ended up in that situation. And I said, you know, if you ever threaten me again, I'll let them take you.
Wow.
And I think sometimes they try to pull that as fear on you, and you need to call their bluff. I know you love your children, but if you, you know, you've got to fight fire with fire sometimes. Obviously, each child is different, but if they knew what they were asking to happen to their lives, how good that they have it in comparison to the children that are in these situations, they would never threaten that again. And they need to see that and understand the truth before they go down that road. Anyway,
that is excellent. Excellent, Mark. You've made a great point here. Yeah, what's the end of this thing? You know, you call DSS on mom and dad. You're going to end up in a foster home. In the worst case scenario. And you could also inform them about some of the abuse that takes place in some foster homes. Not all. I want to make this clear. I'm not broad brushing here. But I've heard plenty of horror stories. And the bottom line is there's no substitute for a good mom and dad who love you. None. Absolutely none. A lighter note here. We have a report of husky abuse at your house. It was called in by the neighbor's cat. That is good. I love that text. Stay with us.
The Pat McCrory Show.
Back to the Vince Coakley radio program. Man, we've had some interesting conversation this morning. I never know where this adventure will take us from day to day. And that's okay. On the text line, talking about dealing with problem children or children who are trying to, let's just say, resist guidance from their parents. My dad called my bluff. When I was about 13, I threatened to run away from home. My dad said, there's the door. If you leave, don't ever come back. Already. Those of us real black or white parents, who's had real parents, aren't afraid of our kids. My parents dared us to call the police or DSS, and we never did. First, it was just black folks. But as I've met some white folks that went through the same type of whoopings I got, we're all fine now. And we pass that same love onto our kids. I love the way you expressed that, love. And that's really important because I want to make this distinction very clear, too. I do not believe in beating children. I believe in loving discipline. And that's a very important distinction. Let's see here. Let us go out to a call from Susie. Good morning, Susie.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Doing well.
Okay, so I worked with a teacher. This has been several years ago. She said she came home from work one day, and there was a phone number on her refrigerator door that she didn't recognize. So she asked her son, whose phone number is that? And he said, oh, they gave me that number at school. In case you hit me, I can call that number. And they'll take care of me. And so she said, I got a piece of paper and I put a number on one side of his number and another on the other side. And he said, what's that first number? And she said, that's the police. You're going to need to call them first if you've decided to call this other number. You need to call the police first.
Ooh.
And he said, what's the other number for? She said, that's the funeral home. You're going to need them too.
Whoa.
She said, don't you come in my home and threaten me. She said, I will discipline you as I see fit. And I agree with you. There's loving kindness and the ways, you know, to discipline kids. And some kids, spankings don't work, and that is beating. If they're not working, you need to find what works for each child. So I've never forgotten that story from that teacher.
That is
some wisdom there.
That's quite a story there, Susie. Thanks very much for your call. Another quick call here from Alan. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Vince. How are you doing? You taught me in broadcasting school, so I wanted to say thanks for all the things you imparted to me and listen to you now. You're a great guy. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks very much, Alan.
The scripture says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Well, the rod is also known as the Word of God. The Word of God is known as the rod. So if you bring the scripture and the love of Christ along with the physical discipline, that's how you change a child's heart. It's through the things that they see in your life, through the discipline that you teach them in the Word, and the physical discipline whenever they do wrong.
Yep, it's got to be balanced, right? It's not just a matter of the corporal punishment. There's got to be some engagement and instruction along the way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, there definitely does need to be.
Yep, that is very good. Alan, thanks very much for your call. Hold on the line, because I'd like to find out what you're up to these days. It's kind of interesting. I promised I would get to this, so I'm going to get to this before we go. If we have time for more calls, we'll do so. Janine Pirro has been suspended from her show. Now, this is a report from Vox characterizing Islamophobic comments about a member of Congress. The president, by the way, is not too pleased with this because she is one of his biggest cheerleaders. Ms. Pirro was missing from her usual slot on Saturday. She questioned whether Ilhan Omar was loyal to the United States because she wears a hijab. Now, I don't think that's an accurate characterization. But in any case, Fox News took the rare move of publicly condemning what she said. She's refused to apologize, saying she never explicitly called Omar un-American. And as I understand it, she did not. Fox News not saying when Pirro will be returning to the network. We're not commenting on internal scheduling matters. If I remember correctly, I don't have what happened to that. Here's what she said, by the way. Omar wears a hijab, which according to the Quran tells women to cover so they won't get molested. Is her adherence to this Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia law, which in itself is antithetical to the United States Constitution? She's raising a freaking question, you idiots at Fox News. She's raising a question. She didn't make a statement. I'm going to tell you, folks, you better keep a close eye on this network. I'm telling you, I think this network has a subtle strand of Sharia compliance. I don't know all the circumstances, but I'm very concerned about the future of this network. And if you let this woman go down over this, and I'm talking to you, regular Fox viewers, this is why I don't cheerlead for individuals and organizations. You need to speak truth to power. You don't suck up to these people. You don't suck up to the president. You don't suck up to the Fox network. You tell them, this is what I find acceptable. And you treating one of your hosts in this manner for asking a legitimate question is not acceptable. I don't care how many hours, I don't care how bad CNN and MSNBC are. If you're going to do this, I will turn your freaking network off. How do you think they'll respond to that? Hey, we continue our conversation tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.